We are, this whole year, we're in a project for ourselves. It's a personal project called the Forward Movement. And really what we're doing is we're inviting God to take us forward and get us out of things that keep us stuck or keep us cycling, like just repeating the same patterns over and over. And I really believe, like, God is putting on our hearts some hard things. Like, was this easy today? Was this easy? It wasn't. It wasn't easy for me. Like, the thing that God brought on my heart to put up here, I was like, oh, dang. Like, that's hard, right? Moving forward, guys, is never easy. It's not. You want to know why it's not easy? It's because when we're back in the stuff that holds us captive, that like keeps us distracted from moving forward, guess what? The enemy leaves us alone. You know, want to know why? Because we're doing exactly what he wants us to do, right? We are stuck in our same cycle. We're stuck in our own hatred and bitterness. We're stuck in our own our same addictions. And we're right where he wants us. So nothing's hard. It just feels normal. But when we partner with Father God and his plan for us, and we start taking steps to intentionally leave that behind, things get hard. Why? Because all of a sudden Satan's like, oh, dang, they're getting out of that cage. I gotta push them back there. It's not easy. So if you've been intentionally doing things to move forward and you're like, this is hard, this is not easy, that is exactly what it's supposed to feel like. I just want to encourage you. That's exactly what it's supposed to feel like. It's supposed to feel like work. And you know that you're doing exactly what Father God has called you to do because it's hard. He doesn't call us to easy things. That's not what he calls us to do. Easy is staying stuck in the same crap. I mean, stuff. Okay? Hard is breaking out of it and saying, I'm not going back anymore. That's hard stuff, and that's what Father God calls us to do. So I'm moving forward. Are you going to join me? Yeah. Come on. Let's do it together. And so today we're in the final message of our Upside Down series. We're in the book of Esther, and we've broken this up into three or four different series. And this series was called Upside Down, and we're in the final message of this series. If you haven't been here for the majority of this message series, I'm going to encourage you, go back and read the book of Esther, because we're in chapter 7 today. So go back and read it. Okay, let's talk about doing hard things. If you haven't been here for the majority of this series, I'm going to challenge you, why not? Why aren't you here? I understand that things come up, like we have vacations. It's summertime. We have vacations. Some of us work on Sundays. Sometimes there's sickness that comes up. But if one of those three things, like family emergencies, but if there's not a legitimate reason for you not to be here, guess what? Be here. The reason is this. This isn't just the time for you to come and be like, okay, well, I'm doing my obligatory, you know, once every 8 week Sunday appearance, and then I'll, you know, go do my own thing. If you are serious about moving forward, nothing should keep you from coming and moving forward. And the way that we move forward is we do it together. Okay? A herd only moves together. When we go out on our own, that's when the enemy tracks us down and keeps us separated. So be here. It's important. Okay, that was enough. So we spent 2 weeks discussing pride, arrogance, and hatred. Wasn't that fun? That was fun, huh? Okay, so last week, we talked about how Satan will entice us with those things only to use them to blindside us and take us down, right? And the best way to combat pride, arrogance, and hatred is with one word. It feels really good. You know what it is? Humility. Right? With humility. And we talked about how, like, it's much easier for us to choose humility and ask God to like help us choose humility, then for us to be humbled, right? I mean, it's a lot easier. Notice, if you were here for this message, what Mordecai did when Haman finished parading Mordecai around the city, what did Mordecai do? He didn't go back and be like, did you see that? Did you see how I was paraded around? And everyone like looked at me because I'm the man that the king wishes to honor. What he did, he went straight back to his post and didn't say a word, right? Pride, arrogance, hatred attempts to make you feel powerful, prestigious, and influential, but the main goal is to make you look like an idiot. That's what they do. The chapter last week, chapter 6, ended with Haman looking like an idiot and being quickly escorted to the second banquet that Esther had asked him and the king to come to. Remember, Esther was trying to listen for God's perfect timing to make her plead to the king so that her people, the Jewish people, would not be annihilated by the royal edict that Haman had manipulated the king to put into place, right? Can you already see? I can. Can you already see how God's been working in this situation? Right? Bringing Mordecai's loyalty to the king's attention. He's already letting the king know, like, hey, Mordecai, he was loyal to you. The king doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that his queen is one of the very people that he has slotted to annihilate. But God's already been working behind the scenes here, preparing the king's heart for what's about to happen. I want you to remember that Father God's plans for us are good and full of life. They're full of hope. They're full of joy. But Satan's plans for us are full of death and torment and destruction. And when we move back, or when we stay stuck, when we cycle, we're partnering with plans for death and torment and destruction, right? So today, in this final message in this Upside Down series, we're going to read Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Now, listen, when I get to the end of this, if you've never read this before, you're about ready to be like, woo-hoo-hoo! Like, you're going to be like, in your face, okay? But it's not over, okay? It's not over. It feels really good at the end of this chapter. It feels good. And it feels like pride, arrogance, and hatred has been kicked in the face, but it's not over. I want you to keep that in mind. So here we go. Esther, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. On this second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom. Queen Esther replied, if I have found favor with the king, here it comes, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. She's so good. Because she's listening to Holy Spirit, you know. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I would remain quiet. For that would be too much of a trivial matter to warrant disturbing the king. Who would do such a thing? King Xerxes demanded. Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you? Esther replied, this wicked man Haman is our adversary and our enemy. Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. And you're like, yeah, he did. All of a sudden, he's like, The king jumped to his feet in a rage and went out into the palace garden. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. Haman, however, stayed behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther. I'm sure he did. You're right? For he knew that the king intended to kill him. In despair, he fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining. Listen, people don't get to touch the queen. Nobody gets to touch the queen. For him to fall onto her couch where she was reclining was a bad choice. Even though he was pleading for his life, bad choice, Haman, bad choice. Okay? He fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining just as the king was returning from the palace garden. The king exclaimed, "Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my eyes?" Whoops, we skipped ahead here. Hang on. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Haman has set up." I'm just going back to my verses here. Hang on. Some of them got missed in our slides, I think. "Will he even assault the very queen right before the palace, before my eyes?" As soon as the king spoke, his attendants came in and covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. They knew, like, they listened to the king, and they knew as soon as the king says that, Haman's dead. So Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Hey, Haman has set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet in his own courtyard. He intended to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination." Don't you love these king's eunuchs? They are so good. So the king says, "Then impale Haman on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. Woo! You want to talk about being upside down? Do you see how God took the plans of Haman and completely flipped them upside down so that now it's not Mordecai being impaled on the pole that Haman designed for him. Haman's being impaled on the very pole that he designed to kill Mordecai on. That's a big flip. Flip in your face, right? Today's message title is the title series, Upside Down. Because God is always working to flip the script in our lives. He is. He's always working. Father God will always work to turn the enemy's plans upside down. We just have to let him. That's it. We just have to let him. And do you know how you let him? Get the heck out of the way. Ooh. Get out of the way. And so sometimes, this is what we have to, there's some things we have to remember. As we are walking forward and we're saying, "God, I know you're going to flip the script. I want to let you." There's some things that God wants us to remember. Here's the first thing. God only has good plans. He only has good plans. If plans come our way, if things come our way, if situations come our way that aren't good, they aren't God. Right? So it's time to start recognizing them for what they are. If things aren't good, they aren't God. And we're talking about Satan coming at us, and what are we going to do? Let me just give you this little reminder. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah about the nation of Israel, who's in captivity, much like they are right now in Persia, in Esther. And he's speaking through the prophet Jeremiah about things that are going to happen. And it doesn't sound very positive because he's telling them, like, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Ooh. But then he says this, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future and a hope." You know what? 70 years of captivity don't sound very good, but guess what? Father God said, "I already know. I know what's going to happen. I have good plans for you." You know what? Moving forward, and leaving some stuff behind, maybe some people behind, it might not feel very good. But God says, I have good plans for you. My plans for you are good. And I have good people for you. My plans for you are good. When thoughts in our head are thoughts of dread, despair, and worry, those are not God's thoughts for us. I personally don't believe that God's plan was for Haman to die. I don't. God really worked hard to humble Haman, didn't he? He worked hard. Like, he worked hard to humble Haman to the point that Haman was parading Mordecai around the countryside, singing Mordecai's praises when Haman thought it should be him. God worked to humble him. Haman chose to stay in pride and arrogance and hatred. He set up the possibility for Haman to choose humility, but Haman chose poorly. Do you think, have you watched Indiana Jones? You know Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? And they're like in this cave, and there's like this 1,000-year-old guard there, and he's guarding this these chalices, and there's two cups. There's two cups there. One is like the cup of like eternal life. Interesting, right? One is the cup of death, and it comes down to a choice. And someone comes up and grabs a cup and is like, yep, and drinks it. And the guard says, you've chosen poorly. And the man like shrivels in immediate death and dust. That's kind of what Haman was doing. He chose poorly and was faced with immediate death. Remember, God's plans are good. If we trust him, that means we're trusting his plans. Okay, next thing is this. When we're moving forward, wait to open your mouth. Wait to open your mouth. Esther was patient. And she waited for God's perfect timing before she opened her mouth. She could have, when she first entered the king's presence unannounced and he put forth the golden scepter for her, she could have right there said what she needed to say. Because the king's ears was all hers, but God kept her quiet. Don't say anything yet. Don't say anything. And why is that? Well, because God already knew what he had planned working out, because he wanted to give absolute favor to the Jewish people. He wanted to build a case of favor for the king. And it wasn't going to happen with just Esther parading in there. He needed to see the kind of man that he had whispering in his ear. And God wanted to expose the lies that the king had been listening to. So sometimes it's really hard to be quiet, isn't it? Like when we see something that we don't agree with or that's bringing us harm or bringing us conflict in our lives, it's hard to keep quiet. Look what Psalms 37, verses 7 through 8 says. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Whoa. Right? Shh. Just be quiet. Let God work. There's been multiple times this week. I know of at least three times that people have reached out to me, and this is how I know God is stirring something up in here. People have reached out to me, and it's like, okay, listen, I'm praying, and this person's you know, their face keeps coming to my mind, or their name keeps coming up in my mind. And, like, am I supposed to reach out to them? Should I, like, what should I do? And my response every time this week has been, ask Jesus what he wants you to do with that. Jesus, do you want me to reach out to them, or do you just want me to silently pray for them? Just because a name keeps coming to your mind doesn't mean that God's like, now go talk to them. Let's ask Jesus what he wants. Always ask Jesus before speaking. Because I only want my words coming straight from him. That's all I want. And I know that's what you want too. Because when we let ourselves get in the way, we make a big fat mess of it. Don't we? The last thing is this. Trust God with the details. If you were here last week, you know, like, hey, that was a point last week. I know. I know it was. I think it needs to be repeated. Because, all right, how easy it is for us to take things back once we start to see God move, right? We start to see God move, and, like, we start to see, like, his plan kind of starting to unfold, and it's so easy for us to be like, oh, I see what you're doing. I'll take that, and I'll go, right? It's so easy to do that. We can insert ourselves into God's job. Thanks for starting this for me. Now I'll finish it. Esther did not say one word about the pole that Haman had created to kill her cousin on, did she? She didn't say one word about it. I believe that the king walked out into the garden because he was super perplexed. You want to know why he was perplexed? Well, this is why. Because there was a royal edict that was in place, that the king had put in place to kill the Jews in a year's time from now. And here's how a royal edict works. You can't just cancel it out. It's a royal edict, meaning it is firm in place, and even the king can't cancel it. And so I believe in that moment when the king was filled with rage and had to go out into the garden, it's because he all of a sudden knew, like, I can't stop this. They're gonna kill my queen, and I can't stop it. What am I going to do? The king was so perplexed. And I think he needed a minute to cool his head in order to think straight. Because he had been duped. And he realized it. And the king walked out to cool down, so that he didn't say anything that he would later regret. So that he wouldn't say anything that would make him look like the fool that Haman was. It's really easy for us to jump in with our own opinions once the opportunity is opened. Isn't it? All right? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. This is from the Passion Translation. Trust in the Lord completely and don't rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find healing, refreshment for your body, that your body and your spirit long for. Whoa. Right? We have to trust him with the details. We have to let go of our own opinions, ideas, and thoughts. We have to partner with Father God if we want to continue to move forward. There's no other way. You notice we're at the end of this chapter. We're at the end of this series of Upside Down. And the problem remains, right? The Jews are still slotted to be killed in a year. The problem is still there. But God has already been showing his hand to Esther, to Mordecai, to King Xerxes. He's showing them little glimpses of like, hey, listen, if you partner with me, I'm going to fix this. We're going to turn it upside down. We're going to make it better. But the problem wasn't solved. Guys, if we want our problems to be solved in our own lives, we have to stop partnering with the old crap. We have to start partnering with Father God's plans for us. We know that they are good. We know that they are true. Okay. We know that they are hard. But we also know that they're worth it. And at the end of them, the payoff is so much better than the humiliation or death on the other side. I'm going to ask everyone just to close their eyes and bow their heads for a moment. Some of you in this room might be thinking, I have never partnered with Father God. I've been doing my own thing and walking in my same cycle for so long. It feels so normal to me. I don't even recognize it today. And I believe that some of you here today, like your heart is thumping. Maybe even your palms are sweating. Because God is saying, I have better plans for you. And your first step is to say yes to my son. Because I sent my son for you. I sent my son to forgive you of everything that is weighing you down and to lead you into life with me. So for some of you here today, like you're like, that's what I need. I need that today. If that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand for me. Come on. Come on. So good. That is so good. Right there. I'm going to invite everyone to stand with me today. I'm going to ask you to make a bold step. Bold step. If you mean it, some of you, there's some of you that raised your hand. And we haven't done this in the history of Hope City. And Jason and I really talked about it this morning. Sometimes it takes a bold step in order for it to click. So if you raised your hand today, maybe you didn't raise your hand to that, but you're saying, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I accept you. I'm going to ask you when I count off to move right up here. And Dream Team members, you know who you are. Don't make them come alone. As soon as I give the count, you meet them here. Do you hear what I'm saying? You meet them here. So if that's you today and you're saying, Jesus, I'm ready. This is it. This is my moving forward moment. I mean it. I'm making a commitment. This is it. When I get to three, get out of your seat and come right up here and face me. One, two, three, move. Go. Come on. Go. Go. Dream Teamers, meet. Get behind them. Come on, get behind them. Let us all, we're gathering together right now. Everyone in this room, say this with me. Jesus, I hear you. I need you. Today I choose to put you first. Anything else that I'm holding on to, I don't want it anymore. I believe you're the one true way. and I don't want anything else. Jesus, fill me. Those of you that came forward, today when you leave, I want you to meet Pastor Sheree back at the Next Steps table so she can talk to you. Stay right here, though. Everyone, just stay right here. How many of you in this room have a really hard time trusting God in difficult times? Right? How many of us need help remembering that God only has good plans for us? We need to ask Jesus when to speak. We have to resist the temptation to work out the details for God, right? Ooh, that is tempting. That is so tempting. I'm gonna pray over you right now. Jesus, right now you've seen every hand that raised that said, hey, I have a hard time when difficult times come. And Jesus, right now I pray that even this week, as they walk out of these doors and some of the old stuff tries to come back, that you will remind them how to use the new tool that you gave them today. That you will remind them how to use that instead of the old stuff. God, that they will have a sobering moment and take a deep breath before they open their mouth, and that they'll hear your voice and your words and your timing. God, that when we come back together next Sunday, we come back expectant and ready and humble. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you raised your hand for salvation today, meet Pastor Sheree at the back of the room. The rest of you, I love you, and I'll see you next week.